milestone. Amen. So let's receive her right now. Prophetess Judy Hurd with a hearty amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I just thank you, Lord. He is so good. He's so kind. And even what's been spoken already, God had laid that on my heart. And one thing he laid upon my heart was to become a worshiper. But to become a worshiper, you have to be a praiser first. Because it says you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. When you get in there and you give all honor and glory to him, it changes you into a worshiper. You cannot continue to come into his presence and not be changed. And I made up my mind earlier this year. The Lord was dealing with me on some things. He was dealing with me even on my position in the kingdom, and I struggle with it. I still struggle with it. But I made up my mind. I said, Lord, I'm just going to become a praiser. And if I become a praiser, then I can do your will. And it'll be easy. So we're just going to go real quickly into the word. I have a lot of scriptures because the Lord deals with me in scripture. He deals with me in his word. So we're going to first turn to James 1:8, 1:1-8. And I'll just read it. You can maybe just note it down for later on. It says, I, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greeting. He said, and I've got a different version, but it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. He does not find fault. If any of you, without finding fault, it will be given unto you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Then we want to go to Zephaniah 2. And Zephaniah means hid by God, hid of God. It says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. Before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility, that it may be you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And then go to 1 Kings 18. 36 and 39. Repentance delivers from idolatry. And it came to pass, is 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God. He is God. The Lord, he is God. Then let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12. And this is talking about spiritual wisdom. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. And then the last one is Joshua 1:1-9. And Joshua means Jehovah is generous. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the way to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to observe all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. So do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. And the one thing I want to say is that in this season in time, when I was asking the Lord what to say, and I just began to write notes, and I was just beginning to write what was dropping in my spirit, and the one thing he says is that we need to refocus back on him. We've got to come back to our first love. And I think it's just apropos to what has been said, even what Pastor said, it's the season that we are in now, that we have to make a decision that we're going to serve God. Even Joshua, when they went over into the land, they had to fight like 39 battles before they took the land. And even then, they didn't take all of it, but they took the majority of what God gave them. And in that battle, every battle they won except one. They didn't win because there was an Achan in the camp. There was someone that stole, someone that did something that they should not have done. There was sin in the camp. And because there was sin, they didn't win the battle. And he went to before God, he said, Lord, what happened? He says, there's sin in the camp. So that lets me know that when we are as the body together, we can do all things through him, as long as there is no sin in the camp. And we have to get rid of, like Pastor said, we have to begin to examine ourselves. I begin to even examine myself. I'm not standing up here just because someone asked me to. I'm standing up here because I had to examine myself. I had to see where my downfalls were. I had to see what my shortcomings were. Because anytime the Holy Spirit talks to me, he talks to me first. And I begin to recognize that. I used to have this self-righteous spirit because I knew the Lord talked to me. And it's somebody else. But the Lord began to show me it's for you first. You got to get on your face. You got to repent. You got to change. You got to recognize your downfalls, where you are at. What is wrong? Why are you not obtaining the promises and the blessings that I have told you that you shall have? Why are you not in the place, in the position that I have said that you would be? Why are you not there yet? Because you have refused to acknowledge your shortcomings. You have refused to acknowledge your sinful ways. You have refused to search your heart. And I had to begin to search my heart. And I realized that he told me, he said, you have a critical spirit on you. You have a critical spirit. And I had to humble myself to that thing. And that's what God is saying to us now. There is no more delay. There is no more time to play. This is a warning to all of us. I had that word down, and then I took it out. And then after I heard what everything was said, and I said, I have to put it back in. God said we weren't sitting here just to be happy and to obtain the promises of God, but to be a light in the dark world of despair. And it's through our worship in spirit and truth that always points back to Jesus. Our lives are forever to point to him, because everything is because of him. Our lives are a testimony that forever points to the love and grace and glory of him. That is why we are here. As we are being changed from glory to glory into his image and likeness, we are forever getting into a closer eternal state. If I'm not right here, how do I think that I'm going to slay and live in his presence in eternity? When he gave me that revelation, it hit my spirit so heavy, because when you deal with things and you think that, oh, God's grace and mercy is on me, he's doing great things with me, but he began to show me that your spirit is unclean. He said, you have on righteousness, because by the blood of Jesus I've been made righteous. But then he said, you got spots and wrinkles on your garment. He says, because of the things and the circumstances in your life, you have obtained some spots, some stuff that you have not let go, and has defiled your temple, defiled your garment. He says that in this season of uncertainty, our souls must seek him as never before. And we have to begin to formulate into that living temple that he resides in. You cannot keep coming, and you cannot go into his presence continuously and not change. And that shows us, because we're not going into his presence, if we're not changing, if we're still dealing with yesterday, then we're not going into his presence as we should. When we shut, in Matthew 13, it talks about we have dull ears and we can't see and perceive. We don't see and perceive what's going on. And what he wants is, he wants a body of believers that when they come into his presence, that we are perpetually changed. We need to see another dimension of him every time we go into his presence. We should never go into his presence and come out the same. And even that's been my prayer. Lord, when I come into your presence, when I come into your house, and you've probably even heard me say this, let me not come in the same way, go out the same way I came in. And when I made up my mind that I was going to begin to praise him, everything began to change. My eyes began to see things differently. I didn't see them as trouble. I saw them as God was going to take care of it, and he was going to be the bridge that got me over that trouble, because I praised my way through it. I praised my way over it. It says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. That means that now I am sitting in Christ. And what he said was, look up the word in. The word in means from the outside to a point within. Having the ability, occupation, or function of. So what that means is that when I accept Christ, I'm now from the outside in. I'm sitting not out here in the outer court. I'm sitting inside in the holies of holies with him. I am in. It's a fixed position. It's a fixed position that we have. Once we come into Christ, it's fixed. You can't change it. You can't change it, because he's called us into that position. That's where your greatness comes from. He created the heavens and earth to give him glory. And we are part of that. We give him glory by our lives, by the things that we do, that we always doing it in him, not for him. The word, I looked up the word for, because he says we do things for him, but we don't do things in him. So when I looked up the word for, it says, the word for means used to indicate a purpose, of an action. It's a motive. And so the God says, are you doing it in me or doing it for me? Because the motives of your heart are not right. Your motives aren't right. And the Lord says, you can't no longer stay on the outside. He said, if you're going to stay on the outside of the camp, you're going to die. But if you come into Christ, you shall live. Because when he died, I died. When he raised, I raised. And now I sit in heavenly places with him. It's authority and power. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead raised me. It resides in me. It resides in you. You have power. You have authority. You can tread on serpents and scorpions. You can call healing. You can change situations and circumstances that have made you captive to them. See, because we've been set free from slavery. Slavery is bondage, and it's having to answer to that bondage. It's being gripped by that thing. But when you come into captivity, it means that there are certain things or there's circumstances that have made me not be able to make a right decision. So we're in captivity because we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to give us the right way to do things, to get out of that situation. We fall up under the weight of that captivity. And now what happens is when we fall under that weight, now we go back into slavery, that bondage that controls and manipulates me. Now I'm back on the outside. But yet I'm still in Christ. We're not here in this season and time to give feel-good messages. It's no longer houses, cars, land. God is raising up people that can see what's going on inside of people's hearts because they have purified themselves to the ways of Christ, and they can go and they can bring deliverance to people. People need to be set free. People need to be delivered. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, you give us great gifts and we do all this stuff, but I want to see people raised from the dead. I want to see people set free. I want to see people that I see on the street, they're struggling to walk, they're struggling to breathe, they can't see, they got all kinds of issues going on. I said, Lord, I want to be able to deliver them. And he said, you got to die. You got to humble yourself so that I can exalt you. You got to humble yourself. See, this is a faith walk. Faith says that I believe that by his grace I've been set free from my old way of thinking and living, which is enmity towards God, and by the blood of Jesus I'm now a creation. Slavery is no longer there. I've been set free because I'm on the inside now. And so the Lord began to say, purify in the fires of affliction. Change your belief system. Because I can quote this word all day long, but if I don't believe it, if I don't receive it, it's just words on a paper. It's useless paper. But when I know that I am in Christ, that's why I won't use this is just me. Now, I'm not talking about anybody else. That's why I won't use an iPad. Because this word is anointed. This word set me free. This word makes me live and not die. This word cleans my spirit out. This word changes my perception. This word makes me get closer in going to the holies of holies. This word is my lifeline. And what I'm doing now is when I hear the word, I want to hear it so I can live. I want to hear the word so I can live. I don't want to no more hear a word that, oh, that was a good word. Now, don't get me wrong. We want to hear. But in the pivotal hour that we're in, I want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying so that I can live and not die, that I can be eternally changed into his image and likeness, that I can be sanctified, set apart, because I'm going to make it in if I have to crawl in, if I got to stay on my knees, I refuse to die. The Lord said there's a darkness in the world is requiring a mighty move of God, a mighty move. And there's a burden put on his people that requires us to know his voice, see what he's doing, and release him. It's going back to that first love. It's being hid in him in the times of trouble, that we let every test and trial work patience in us. It brings us closer to him. It heals our land. It gives us the authority and the power to bind the hand of the enemy and to loose the will of God in the earth. Because I'm made in the image and likeness of God, and he gave us the ability to speak and declare and decree because we are his ambassadors. An ambassador is one that represents a kingdom. So you represent the kingdom of heaven and all that is in heaven. So whatever is in heaven, you can decree and declare it according to his word and bring it into the earth, because that's the mighty move of God that he's looking for. We have to believe that when I speak the word, I'm declaring and decreeing it, that it will be established. Because even when I'm praying, I'm learning now, sometimes when I pray, the Lord just drops a person or a situation in my spirit, and I just begin to pray for it, because before I wouldn't believe it. I didn't believe that my prayers meant anything. I didn't think that they were hitting the mark, they were doing anything. But the Holy Spirit began to show me. He says, if you humble yourself, you seek my face and pray, I will heal the land. I will heal the land. And who needs healing but our land? So I don't care who it is or what's going on. If he gives it to me, it's my responsibility. Because if I don't take that responsibility, I'm going to have to answer for that responsibility. Because who knows what my prayers could have done? Who knows what they could have saved? The other night I was praying, and the spirit of suicide came on me. That spirit is death in the land. And I just began to speak against the spirit of suicide, because so many people don't know which way to go. Suicide means I have given up and I have lost hope. There is no more hope for me. And see, I know that spirit. I lived with it. I dealt with it. So I know it. And it's just nothing but to destroy the very soul of a person and send them to hell. Because the enemy is devouring people. He's tearing families up. Never before have I seen so many families in despair. Never have I seen so many people coming against their parents and coming against this one and talking about that one. That Facebook is so demonic. Someone was showing it to me, and I saw some things that shook me to the very core. And I told somebody, I said, you know, I feel like taking those pages and just praying and posting a word. And somebody said, well, they'll just deface you. They'll just cut you off. Because we don't want to face our truth about ourselves, that we need to be made clean. Habakkuk, and you don't have to turn there, Habakkuk 1:5 says, for I will work a work in your day which you will not believe, though it be told to you. I will stand upon my watch, and 2:1 says, and I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved or corrected. God said he getting ready to do something that is going to baffle even our minds when he do it. It's going to baffle even our minds, because we're going to think it's coming one way and he's going to come another, because that's how he is. That's why he's God. And beside him there is no other. Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. He knows what he's doing and why he's doing. We just have to learn to trust him. And that's what Habakkuk means, to embrace, trust, and hold on to the sovereignty of our God. We have to begin to hold on to him. I got to hold on to the hem of his garment. I got to hold on to him when I don't know what to do. I can't let go. I want the better part of him. I can't let him go. Because if I let him go, I'm going to die. And God allowed the Babylonians. Habakkuk came to Israel during the reign of the last king, Joash, that's how you say his name. And he allowed the Babylonians to take over the people. And Rebekah said, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to our people, Lord? And he said, because they have been rebellious. They are stubborn heart. Because remember, the prophets went to Israel for, I don't know how many years, I didn't get to look that up. How many years before they went into captivity? How many years, and notice it didn't say slavery, it said captivity. Captivity they went into because they were captive to their circumstances, but yet they have been let out of slavery in Egypt. So that shows you right there that we're not slaves to anything. We just captive to our circumstances that keep us from making a right decision, or making a right choice. And we have to recognize those seasons and time and say, Lord, what do I do? Because what I'm recognizing, I recently had a situation that didn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out. We jumped at this situation and it turned out for our bad. And I went back and I said, Lord, what did I do? What happened? I thought it was you. He said, you didn't get on your face. You did not get on your face and talk to me about it. That's why you became captive to that circumstance. That is why. So he's letting me know, whatever I do, whatever we do in this season, we better get on our face. We better seek his face. Because what's coming, what is out there, we got to know his voice. We got to hear it clearly. We got to take the scales off our eyes, and we got to believe God when he speaks. And we have to know his voice. If we don't know his voice, see, I thought I heard his voice. I thought I saw the prophetic of God being released, but it was the enemy. But I said, okay, Lord, I learned my lesson. Never again. Because every test and trial is a stripe. It's an experience. See, Jesus took stripes for our healing. He took stripes for every situation in our lives. So God said, every stripe that you take is because he took it for you. And it's an experience to learn patience, trusting, holding on to the sovereignty of God, believing God, and having the character of God. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Even though we are tried in the fires of affliction, those fires are to prove the genuine faith that resides in us. These refining fires result in praise, glory, and honor that is revealed through Jesus, who suffered also. And we don't like to suffer. It causes comfort, discomfort, anxiety, and it causes us to make decisions that we may not be ready to make. But sometimes we keep holding out, we keep holding on to our junk, keep holding on to stuff. And God said, let it go, let it go, let it go. And you keep holding on to it, and you keep going back and forth, keep going back in the wilderness, round and round and round and round. I've been there. I'm not just up here saying it. He says, afflictions come in our lives to prepare us for greatness. God allows difficulty to develop your character. He's more concerned about your inner man development than your souls and flesh being in discomfort. The inner man can only be prepared when all self-will and self-confidence is removed and all reliance is on Christ. And that's what happened to me. I had to remove some things so that next time a situation comes out, get on my face and pray, and then the outcome will be a God outcome and not something else. Because that other one don't get no glory. Okay, so it says that when faith in God is developed, God does not need our gifts. He needs our character so he can use us in a purified state. So we don't think it's us, but it's the Christ in us, the hope of glory. Fire burns and it purifies. And if we are still dealing with the same affliction that causes us discomfort and anxiety, it's time to examine ourselves again. Remember, Israel died in the wilderness. They went around 40 years when it should have been 3 days. And 1 Peter says, I'll just read it. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade. this inheritance is kept in heaven for us, and that who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So the power of our faith keeps us. It reserves us, it protects us. So that when we go through situations, tests, and trials, those things preserve us in heaven. That's why you say, as it is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth. He reserves us. He keeps us. That's why it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I believe that. I believe that. I live by that. I walk by it. Because I used to be scared to say, I don't want to say nothing about the enemy. I don't want to challenge the devil. This is for real now. I would be scared of him. But now, it's on. You know why? Because I understand I have power and authority. I can speak and declare a situation and it can be changed. I can speak to my body. I was having pains in my back. And I said, what's going on? And I said, okay, that's it. I'm thinking, okay, is this going to go away? And yesterday I began to speak the word and declare it over my back area. I began to speak healing and it's gone. Amen? We have to take every situation, walk, step into it, believe God, and start activating that thing by our faith so that God can do a great thing. If it's your finances, if you need finances, because the finances that we need now is to live. It's going to come a day that I have to help somebody. I got to, and I might have to give away some stuff. I might have to open my house. So the faith that I have that God is building me through the tests and trials is only for someone else. It's not for me. I've had everything. God's blessed me. I'm not bragging or anything. I believe he put favor on our lives because we did what we were supposed to do. When he told me to come clean the church toilet, I cleaned it. When he told me to vacuum the floors, I did. When he told me to wipe the windows down. When he told me to fix the food, to do all this other stuff. He told me I came and I did it. Now, don't think I didn't get tired. I did. And I went a little rebellious there. Pastor can tell you. Went a little rebellious. But then he had to refocus me, reshift me, and make me understand. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it for me. And what comes out of what's done in the dark shall be shown in the light. Because what he's doing, he's earlier this year dropped in my spirit. He says, I'm uncovering the believer and the unbeliever. Never have I seen so many news stories about things that have been done in the dark and they've been coming to light. Because it's for the salvation of people's souls. For them to understand, you're not doing nothing. See, people think that they're doing it all, but they're not doing anything. And, you know, and then he took me to, he's saying, hear what the Spirit is saying. Hurry up, because I'm almost out of time. He says, hear what the Spirit is saying. And he took me to Revelations, to the seven churches. He told John to come up here, and he would show him what was to come. And he showed him the seven churches. Now, in that, and you need to read that for yourselves and get an understanding. It was very awesome when I began to study on the Revelation churches. But the Revelation churches, either they were one, a local application. The message was either a local application within the church at that time. It was a historic application for the seven church history period, historical periods. Or it was a personal application, a universal message to his churches. And I'm taking it from the perspective of the universal message to the church today. So real quickly, Ephesus, the church, remember that was the first church. And he called them the loveless church. Because what happened was they got zealous. They were zealous for Jesus. But then they got so zealous, they started doing works and it became performance-based. Make sure we're not doing performance-based. Then the next church was the church of Smyrna. Those were the persecuted ones because after Ephesus, there was much martyrdom because everybody didn't go over to the other side. They stayed with Christ, and they died for their beliefs. So are we dying for our beliefs? The next church was the church of Pergamum. That was a compromising church. That church went to the government and made a pact agreement with the government. And they merged as one state. So the church and the government work together. You can't serve two masters, because you're going to love one and hate the other. How many masters are we serving? Then the church of Thyatira, I'm probably saying it wrong. That was a corrupt church. They had beautiful churches, but they were dead on the inside. They had sexual immorality. They worshiped idols. They worshiped Mary. They worshiped Baal. They were a corrupt church. Are we worshiping idols? Then you had the church of Sardis. Oh my God, that church. That church supposedly was the Protestant Reformation church. And that church was a dead church. Because after the church of Thyatira, the beautiful churches, people began to leave the church in droves because they got tired of the church and government state. That's what's happening today. That's why you see so much things going on in America, because people are rebelling against the government. So they began to rebel against them, and they left the churches in droves, and the church became broken down. They became dark and ugly. And the thing about this dead church was they had principles that they had erected. It said by faith alone, by Christ alone, by Bible alone, and by grace alone. But they had turned their hearts from God. They had become a dead church. Are we a dead church? Are we a dead temple? Make sure we're not a dead temple. Make sure that we're not, again, doing things for Christ, but in Christ. Then the church of Philadelphia, they were the ones that endured patiently. They were the evangelists. They were the ones that went out and gathered. They became, they had little strength because they had been doing so much. They were holding the load. And some people hold the load. They get tired and they get weary because they have no help. Everything is pulled on them. And so we have to, when we see those things, we have to help those people. We have to become a people that unify together, that people don't get tired and weary. Pastor can't do it all. Co-pastor Bernadette, she can't do it all. We can't do it. They can't do it all. When they call for help, you need to help them. Many times we have said, we need you to do this, and nobody comes. Nobody comes. Nobody volunteers. This is your place of worship. We got to take more of an active role. And then the last church was the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church. It was faltering back and forth. It was double-minded and unstable. Because today they're for God. Tomorrow, because of their circumstances, they're not for God. It's a faithless church. And that's the church age that they say we are in. But we're not faithless. We just got to refocus. We have to refocus. It's hard to get great moves of God because we don't know who we are. We got to stop being double-minded. And I'm reminded of Elijah and Ahab, when Elijah went to Ahab and told him there would be no rain, because they said Ahab was the most wicked king of Israel. And he was the most wicked king because what he did. Now, all the other kings before him, the six kings, and it's amazing because the six kings before him, they worshiped the Baals, but they also worshiped God. So they were mixing. They were lukewarm. But Ahab said, no, we're only going to worship Baal. And his marriage was not only a marriage of political alliance, but it was a military one. There was a merging. And we have to make sure we're not merging the world with our church. And because of that, now you're worshiping something that is an abomination to God, because it said that he erected the Baals and the Asherah, and they became an abomination, because those Baals, they worshiped them because they relied on the gods of Baal to bring the rain. to bring their food, to water the land, to give them grass for the cattle. They begin to worship the sun and the moon goddess. And I just want to put a disclaimer in here. Be careful what you do. If you're doing yoga, I don't know if anybody's in here doing it, but just research that, because you open portals with that. So you better be careful. We gotta be careful what we do, because that yoga comes out of that Baal. That Baal spirit is very old and ancient. And when he went to them, he challenged the prophets to a showdown. But God won. He won. Because from morning to night, they cut themselves. They called out to their God. Because they said that this is the God we serve. But then what he did was he erected an altar that had been broken down. So we have to erect altars inside of us that have been broken down. And he put water on it, and he put a trench, and he kept saying three times, put water, and then he prayed to God on behalf of the people. It was so that the people could see that God was alive. And he told them, he said, when are you going to make a decision? When are you going to stop faltering between two opinions? Want to serve God? Serve God. If you want to serve Baal, serve Baal. And that's what I think Pastor just said a little while ago. He says, serve God or serve the other. Which one are we going to do? How long are we going? See, the faltering means we keep skipping back and forth. That's that lukewarm state that we are in. We can no longer. We have, like Joshua told them when he was about to die, he says, as for me and my house, make a decision. We will serve the Lord. And he told them, one of you will chase 1,000. So if one can chase 1,000, two or more put 10,000. Collectively in this place, we can change a territory. We can change a neighborhood if we begin to pray. But we don't believe that. We've been justified by Christ. We've been set free. And we have to begin to understand that God dwells in the midst of a believing people. He dwells in the midst of a people that believe him, a people that love him. We've got to come back to him. When I was reading about the different idols, they were saying that there was an archaeological dig, and I don't remember when it was, but they said that even the archaeologists, what happened was when the Babylonians came in and took and destroyed Israel, what happened was, instead of digging up the sites, they just built over them. So when the archaeologists went in, they said they were amazed at all the little idols they found in the house. They were even amazed. So we got to make sure we clean out the idols. And then we have to believe that our experiences with God make us sons and daughters, and put us in Christ and not on the outside. Because God's looking for people that depend on him totally. I was reading about David, and when David sinned, when he counted the people before he went to war, and I began to read that thing, and it says that the commentary was talking about how God got so angry with him. He got so angry. Now remember, he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But the one thing that made God mad was that he began to rely on himself. God's saying, I can't have you rely on yourself. I need you to be totally broken. And he was given a choice of three punishments. You know, it's amazing when I look through this book, how 3, 7, 40. God is such a great. And even he was showing, he says, that the last four churches that in Revelation were the churches that might go through the tribulation. 4 plus 1. 4 equals creation, and 1 is grace. And God was showing me, he says, that my creation has rebelled against me, but my grace is covering you. He decided that he would, he says he'd rather be in the hands of a merciful God than the hands of the enemy. That means that when because remember, he went down on the threshing floor and he repented. And when he repented, he looked up and he saw the destroying angel. And that angel destroyed 70,000 in 3 days in a plague. And he took responsibility for it. And we have to take responsibilities for our land. And he bought that threshing floor, and that threshing floor was built, the temple was built on top of it. Because, see, on the threshing floor is where separation comes. It separates from the good from the bad. That's why you got to go into prayer. That's why we got to go into prayer, so we can separate the good from the bad that's inside of us. We have to have our own personal threshing floors so God can do a mighty work in us. We have to know that our foundation is not built with stone, hay, gold, which is corruptible, but it has to be built on the eternal face of God, the eternal foundation that I am in Christ, that God loves me. We got to come out of our flesh, walking in the lust of the eye, what we see that looks pleasurable, the lust of the flesh, what we desire to fulfill our physical earthly needs, and the pride of life, what we desire to control, which is self-willed. Because remember, Satan came to Jesus and tempted him with those temptations. So we are not exempt from those. But we have to recognize, we have to not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And one of the things I've been praying for is to have a spirit of discernment to know what is in operation in the atmosphere. I want to know what's going on. So I'll know, so I'm not caught unaware. Because many, the Lord was showing, he said, many are going to be caught unaware. Because if they don't know my voice, he says, when I come back for them and I sound that trumpet, they will not hear it. Because they have not trained their ears to hear me. He wants us to train our ears to hear him. It says in Hebrews 5, 8 through 9, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all of us. He's trying to get us to an eternal state that he can use us, that we can go back with him, that our garments aren't wrinkled. He's preparing his bride. He wants us to change our minds, begin to praise him, begin to believe him, check the conditions of our heart. Matthew 13 talks about the four conditions where the seed of the word was planted. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on ground that had no root. Some fell where the cares of life and the riches and the things that they desired took them away from him. But some fell on ground that got 160-30-fold return. I want to get 100-fold return. And we are in time sensitive. The Lord was showing me that the enemy, and Pastor had mentioned a couple of weeks ago a Bible study. He was saying how the enemy comes and he uses strategies. And the Lord was showing me his strategies are time sensitive. Because God is not in time, but we are in time. And the time is a point from point A to B. So he is time sensitive in what he does. He studies us. And right before we get to a place, he brings that thing to us to get us distracted. And it takes us off course. And we're believing God. We're believing for what he's doing, for what he said. And if it does not come to pass, then we fall back and we don't believe he's God. Can no longer do that. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what has occurred in your life, you still have to believe him. You still have to worship him. You still have to praise him. You still have to know that he is God, and beside him, there is no other. He is the creator. He created us to give him glory. He created us to be living epistles, to be read of men. He created us to be lights in a dark place. We have got to make our mind up who we are going to serve, what we are going to do. Take the position, the fixed position in Christ, and begin to walk in it. And it doesn't matter if we might make mistakes. Grace covers us. But just make sure you do it by the Spirit of the Lord. In Zephaniah, he talked about seven times, he said, the day of the Lord, when I was reading it. And he was calling the people back to repentance. Seven times, he said, before the day of the Lord comes. Before, read it for yourself. He said, before the day of the Lord comes. Before the day of the Lord comes. Before the day of the Lord comes. Seven times, he said it, and then destruction came. And I'm telling us today, before the day of the Lord, let's get our lives together. Let's get our hearts right. Let's love as we should. Let's put away all the situation, the things that bother. I had some situations and stuff was getting to me, and it was like, oh my God. And I had to really refocus myself. I had to begin to say, Lord, what's wrong? What's going on? And I can only use myself as an example. Am I not loving enough? Do I not believe you? Do I allow my circumstances to dictate how I respond? Do I not meditate on your word? What is making me miss the mark? Am I not praying enough? What is it? And he began to show me. Because there's situations that can occur in our lives. What if sickness or disease hits your body and you don't have enough in you to cancel that thing? You don't have enough faith to believe that it can be, that you can be healed. We got to build our faith right now. See, we're really in a catch-up mode. We're in a catch-up mode because we're past critical mass. Critical mass means right before the explosion, everything is in place for that explosion to take place. Every particle, every molecule, everything that's going to cause that explosion comes together, and then that explosion happens. That's critical mass, and that's what the Lord's saying we are at. We are at critical mass. Amos 8:3 says that there would be a time that there would be a famine in the land, not for substance, but for the word of God. We are in that time. But ye that are in here, love the Lord. Going to do great and mighty works. He loves each and every one of us. He cares for us. Mercy and grace is renewed every day. He has called us to a place and position that we can be lights in a dark place. Don't take it lightly. Believe the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Begin to meditate on the word day and night, that it will be well with you. Begin to call upon his mighty name. Go down to the threshing floor. Thresh out, separate the things that are not needed in the season and time. Believe his word. Rely on him. Elevate your faith to a level that no matter what I see, no matter what the circumstances are, I believe God. And that I am chosen of him. I am the apple of his eye. He loves me. Ephesians says, he's going to present himself with a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I just want to leave this with you. There are 168 hours in the week. Just a tenth or a tithe of that is 17 hours. Check your tithe of time dedicated to the Lord per week. That is going to determine what power you walk in. It's going to determine if you carry the presence of God with you. It's going to determine if you walk in your flesh or in the spirit. It's going to determine if you live in the heavenlies or down here, which is temporary. You have to hide under the shadow of the almighty wing of God. We can't worship him in principles, laws, and rules. We have to worship him out of pure heart. One of the ways I taught myself to become a worshiper was that every day at work I would go into, maybe you heard about my bathroom ministry. But that bathroom ministry was powerful because it took me to a place. It changed my mind. And the Lord said, just go in the bathroom and worship me. Just praise me. And that's what I did every day. Just went in the bathroom. I said, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're kind. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. All honor and glory belong to you, O God. You are worthy. You are high. You are the lofty one. You are my healer. Lord, you are my deliverer, O God. Lord, you are omnipotent and omniscient. Lord, you are the day star. Lord, you are the Lion of Judah. Lord, I bless your holy name. Lord, I love you, O God. Lord, I give you honor today, O God. Hallelujah. I bless your name. Let's stand on our feet. Let's begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Begin to praise your God. Just begin to praise him where you're at. Begin to praise your God. Don't look at me. Just begin to look at him. Look above and not below. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are good. Lord, you are kind, oh God. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, oh God. Lord, you are mighty and strong in battle, oh God. Lord, we love you today, oh God. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we give our hearts to you today, oh God. Lord, we bow.